But I think Cuba see the end. You know, all my life I've been hearing about the United States and Cuba. You know, when will the United States do it? I do believe I'll be the honor of having the honor of taking Cuba. That'd be good honor. That's a big honor.
Taking Cuba.
Taking Cuba in some form, yeah. Taking Cuba. I mean, whether I free it, take it, I think I could do anything I want with it. You want to know the truth? They're a very weakened nation right now. They were for a long time. Very violent leaders.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 17th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news and let's get to some breaking news. And we will begin with the resignation of Joe Kent, who moments ago posted on X, "After much reflection, I've decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. And it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. It has been an honor serving under POTUS and DNI Gabbard and leading the professionals at NCTC. May God bless America." And so he included his resignation letter in this post on X, and it is brutal. It is a very, very brutal letter towards the Trump administration, towards the President of the United States and his betrayal of his America First, no war agenda. I'm going to read you one paragraph or two paragraphs from his resignation letter, where he says, "Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. The echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States. And that should you strike now, there was a clear path to a swift victory. This was a lie and is the same tactic the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq war that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women. We cannot make this mistake again. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times and as a Gold Star husband, who lost my beloved wife, Shannon, in a war manufactured by Israel, I cannot support sending the next generation off to fight and die in a war that serves no benefit to the American people, nor justifies the costs of American lives." Let me read you one more paragraph. "I pray that you will reflect upon what we are doing in Iran and who we are doing it for. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further toward decline and chaos. You hold the cards." An extraordinary letter from Kent. So that is the first bit of breaking news. What an amazing day of news. The next big breaking news, and this one's big. According to Israel, they have managed to kill Ali Larijani, a man who many people believed, including myself, to be the person that is running Iran. This has not been confirmed by Iran, but Israel is claiming that it has indeed killed not only Laranjani, but also the top official commander of the Bazij unit, Golamreza Soleimani. So they killed the top commander, but the big story is that Israel claims they have assassinated Ali Larijani. I talked about Larijani yesterday, and I was referencing an article which I received from a viewer on Telegram, which was an expose written by Haaretz about Larijani, who he is as a person, his intellect, his passion for philosophy, and how he is the person that is running Iran. Let me say this. Larijani was walking in the streets of Tehran just the other day, walking amongst the people, as was Pezeshkian. And I would say that he was not afraid to die. As a matter of fact, he was also expecting to be martyred. If you're in the middle of a war and you know that Israel and the United States are actively engaging in decapitation strikes, that is one of their main objectives in this war, is to try and take out the leadership in order to force a collapse and a regime change, and you're walking amongst the people, just walking on the streets of Tehran, taking photos with people, shaking hands. You're obviously not afraid of what happens. And Larijani, my guess would be he understands that much like Khamenei, if he is indeed martyred, if this is true, and he is indeed killed, then Iran has someone else to come next. And then after that person, they have someone else to come next. This seems to be the way the system in Iran has been built, has been constructed. They have people to replace leaders. So big news, if it happened. I don't think, even if this is confirmed by Iran, let's assume it is confirmed. Israel is very confident of the fact that they have killed Larijani. All of the mainstream media is running with this story. Maybe it's not confirmed. Maybe he's alive. But if we assume that this is indeed the case, I don't expect this to make much of a difference with regards to the war, or with regards to Iran, the government holding together. It might actually strengthen Iran's resolve, the Iranian people's resolve. We'll see. We wait for the Iranian confirmation of this news, or the Iranians rejecting this news. But it's a big story. And finally, we also have a photo released of Bibi Netanyahu. He is meeting with senior officials, Israeli military officials. Allegedly, this is a photo of Netanyahu. He's on the phone, you can see from the photo, ordering the killing of senior Iranian officials, Larijani and the other commander. This is what Israel says this photo depicts. But the photo is meant to dispel the rumors, the claims that Netanyahu has been killed, or that the coffee shop incident was, the coffee shop appearance was some sort of AI. This is showing Netanyahu, if this photo is real, this is showing Netanyahu meeting with an official, allegedly a military official, allegedly ordering the killing of Iranian officials. So three big breaking news topics. Huge breaking news topics. So let's get to the regular news cycle. And let's shift gears momentarily to Cuba. We had a big blackout in Cuba, a nationwide, island-wide blackout. This was the first blackout since the Trump administration blockade. The first big, total, complete blackout since the Trump blockade. I've read reports which claim that since the blackout was announced, Cuban officials have been able to restore power to many areas in Cuba. But this is a sign that things are getting bad for Cuba. The blackout, the inability to get energy is really starting to wear down the Cuban government. And Trump was giving a press conference yesterday, and he was asked about Cuba and the blackout. And Trump's response to the question was that Cuba is ready to collapse at any moment, and the United States is ready to take Cuba. That was pretty much Trump's reply to the news of the blackout, that Cuba has been weakened and the regime has been decimated and the country is on its last legs, and that the United States is ready to swoop in and to take over the country. So that's the update on Cuba. Some more big news, this time from Afghanistan, where the war between Afghanistan and Pakistan is once again heating up. It started a few months ago. Then we got some sort of a ceasefire. Then a couple of weeks ago, it started up again. About 4 weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago. Actually, a day before the United States attacked Iran, we had Pakistan and Afghanistan going at it. And then we had the war in the Middle East against Iran. Things calmed down. Things stopped in this conflict between Iran and Afghanistan. And yesterday, things started up again. And Pakistan was launching strikes into Afghanistan. Pakistan claims that their Air Force was taking out various military facilities that have been used to attack Pakistan. And yesterday, Pakistan, they claimed they took out military facilities. But we also got news that they hit a hospital. Actually, a hospital for addicts, because Afghanistan, when the United States occupied Afghanistan, there was a big drug problem, a big addiction, a drug problem that plagued Afghanistan. And so you had this hospital, which was treating many of the addictions of the addicts. And this hospital allegedly got hit by one of these airstrikes. And we're talking about 400 people being killed. That is a huge number. So that's what's going on there. And now we can turn to the war that is taking place right next to the war that is starting up again between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and that is the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran. And the depleted, decimated Iranian military with no missiles, no army, no air force, no leadership, is what Trump says. They managed to strike the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. They hit the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad with drones. And I don't think they used missiles, actually. I was going to say with drones and missiles. They hit the U.S. Embassy, I believe, just with five or six drones. But we're talking about big, direct hits. A lot of fire. It looks like the embassy was hit very hard from this drone strike. We're talking the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. The U.S. Embassy in Baghdad in Iraq is a freaking fortress. I believe it's the largest U.S. Embassy in the world, is it not? I think the largest U.S. Embassy is in Iraq, and maybe the second is in Yerevan in Armenia. That U.S. Embassy is huge. I've seen it. I've driven by it. It is massive. It's a city. It's its own city, the U.S. Embassy in Yerevan. But the embassy in Baghdad is huge, and it got hit. It got hit hard. You look at the images and the videos coming out of Iraq, and there must have been a lot of damage to the embassy. So the Trump administration is complaining about the fact that no allies are joining it in its war, are joining the United States in its war against Iran. The European allies, the vassals of Europe and of the collective West, have all agreed to not go to war against Iran. So far, the GCC countries, they claim, most of them claim, that they're not part of this war with Iran. They're trying to stay out of this war, even though they are getting hit by Iranian drones and missiles. They claim to still be resisting getting pulled into this war. I'll get to that in a moment. But Trump is definitely trying to form some sort of a coalition of allies so that they can work together to somehow open the Strait of Hormuz. Not that these allies would be able to really do anything if the United States cannot open the Strait of Hormuz. What is Germany and France going to do? How are they going to possibly help the U.S. military? But Trump wants this. He wants to show that he's built some sort of a coalition so that he can show that this war has broad support, and he can take the coalition narrative to the American people as well, and perhaps he can reverse some of the bad polling with regards to the war against Iran. But he's not getting it. He is not getting any support from any allies. U.S. allies rebuke Trump's request for support in Strait of Hormuz. And here is the update as of the list of countries that have rejected Trump as of Monday. France rejected, Germany rejected, Italy, Spain, UK, Japan, Norway, Canada rejected, Australia rejected, China, of course, China, no response, Netherlands, no response, South Korea, no confirmation. South Korea did send their THAAD and some other weapons to the United States. Greece is sending 25% of their Patriot systems or interceptors. I believe the whole system, they're sending 25% of the Patriot systems that they have. They're sending them to the United States. So the U.S. orders Mitsotakis do this. Mitsotakis does it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Half of Greece has been taken over by U.S. military bases. But China, okay. China's not a U.S. ally. The fact that Trump even asked China to help open the Strait of Hormuz is pretty revealing, actually. But that's the list of countries that so far have rejected Trump's calls to join in this war. Take out China and you have You have all of these countries are involved in the war against Russia. All of these countries are very much in support of the proxy war against Russia with Project Ukraine. But Iran, they want no part of it. And many of these countries are European countries, EU countries, and stunning and brave, Kaya Kallas, Essence by Kaya Kallas. Buy the perfume now on the Duran Shop. Essence by Kaya Kallas. She held a meeting of EU foreign ministers or EU leaders that took place yesterday. And she told the media in a speech that this is not Europe's war. Not Europe's war. Got it? Ukraine, Europe's war. Iran, not Europe's war. Well, actually, let me correct that. Let me correct that. Ukraine, not a party. We are not a party to this war, but we are definitely involved in this war, but we're not a party to this war. Iran, not our war. That's where we stand when it comes to Europe. Europe's message actually is quite simple. What Kallas is trying to tell the Trump administration, what all of Europe is trying to tell the Trump administration with their rejections is Trump. We don't want you fighting against Iran. We want you fighting against Russia with Project Ukraine. And that's what they're really saying. And believe me, if Trump was winning in Iran, if he was winning bigly in Iran, we're talking very big, and he was really, really winning, the Europeans would absolutely be on board with him. All of the countries I listed, with the exception of China, they would be on board with China, with the United States big time. They would be supporting the United States if the Trump administration was winning this war against Iran. So Kallas said that it's not Europe's war, but Europe's interests are directly at stake. Yep, because Europe's energy and Europe's economy is going to get effed up from this conflict. And one would think that the next words out of Kallas' mouth, as she was giving the statement, were going to be, we are going to ease sanctions on Russian oil and gas because of the gas and oil shortages from this war and the risk that it poses to our EU economies and to the citizens of the European Union, because the citizens of the member states, the citizens that live in the member states that make up the EU, are what is most important to us as Brussels bureaucrats and technocrats. That should have been her next statement, but that was not what she said. She said that even though the US has eased oil sanctions on Russia, the EU is not going to ease sanctions on Russia. Following the US decision to ease sanctions on Russian oil, Europe will maintain sanctions and continue to move away from Russian fossil fuels. And then Kallas did some math. She did some Annalena 360 math. And she said, the goal was to make Russia earn less money. But now, because of this war, Russia is making more money. She started adding up all the figures of oil prices and stuff like that. Where was oil before the war? Where is oil now? Where is oil going to be in 2 weeks' time? And she was adding up the numbers, and she came to the conclusion that the goal of the EU, which was to starve Putin's war machine of revenues, not working. So that was the statement from Stunning and Brave. She looked very, very stressed, very unhappy, very stressed. All her dreams are crumbling. Her dreams of destroying Russia. And what did she say? Balkanize. She said, we need to break Russia apart. Remember that statement about a year ago at some conference? We need to break Russia apart. Russia needs to lose, and it needs to be broken apart. All those dreams are crumbling. They're crumbling all around her. They're now making money on the oil. They're making a lot of money, over $100 a barrel now. And we wanted to take that to zero. That's their 2027 goal, to take the price of oil to zero, a complete embargo on Russian oil. From where they had it at $40, they had the cap at $40. They wanted to take it to zero by 2027. Stunning and Brave's dreams are falling apart. Hungary, they said that they're going to build a gas pipeline between Hungary and Slovakia. Peter Szijjártó announced this during the ministers' meeting, and he also revealed that Germany is threatening Hungary. They're telling Hungary, you better vote to give the 90 billion to Le Gobelin Vert. Stop vetoing the 90 billion loan. That's what they're calling it, the loan. The giving of 90 billion to Zelensky. Lift your veto or else you will face big time consequences. The German foreign minister, he said, basically expected us to tolerate the oil blockade, to immediately hand over all available money to Ukraine, and to immediately accept the sanctions on Russia. Because if we do not, there will be very serious consequences. Szijjártó dismissed the ultimatum as unacceptable, saying that now I will sign an agreement with the Slovaks about building a new fuel pipeline between the two countries. He said the details of the landmark agreement would be announced at a press conference later. Notice no EU involved in this agreement. None of that in Szijjártó's statement. This is a bilateral agreement between the last two remaining sovereign nations in the European Union, and we have agreed to begin a pipeline between the two countries, Slovakia and Hungary. Meanwhile, they have Germany. Germany is threatening an EU member state, also a NATO member state, a NATO partner, an EU partner. They're threatening them to hand over money to a non-EU member state, to the most corrupt country in Europe. Stop vetoing the money. Stop blocking any other initiatives or sanctions that we have going on or that we want to put in place. Tolerate the oil blockade. That's a good one from Germany. Just accept the fact that Hungarians are going to get poorer, that prices are going to go up, and we're going to have fuel shortages. You see the mindset of the European Union leaders? You see the mindset of the German leadership? This is the German foreign minister. According to Szijjártó, he is telling the Hungarian foreign minister to just tolerate the oil blockade. Just tolerate it. Just tolerate it, man. Come on. What do we care about shortages and price increases? Wow. Unbelievable. Hungary also warned the EU about fertilizer costs. Not many people talking about fertilizer prices, but those prices are moving up. They are moving on up. Moving on up. Let's see. Fertilizer prices have moved up to their highest levels since October 2022. Rising 30% year over year, or year on year, YOY. 30% increase, 35% increase. And they're going to go up even more. You know who makes a lot of fertilizer? You know who's big in fertilizer? Who's huge in fertilizer? Take a wild guess. Just take a wild, wild guess. Russia, of course. But the EU cannot touch any of that Russian fertilizer. Blah, Russian fertilizer. No good. Yuck. No Russian fertilizer. Let our farmers suffer. Let our agriculture suffer. Let our people suffer. We cannot touch the Russian fertilizer. Well, where are you going to get fertilizer from? Who cares? Just tolerate it. Just tolerate the fact that we will not have fertilizer. Tolerate it. So the EU does have a plan to deal with fuel prices increasing and fuel shortages, and one of those plans is to cap the gas prices. And another plan is to give subsidies to people, to give money, free money to people. So if the price of fuel goes up by X amount, Ursula's plan is to give people money, to absorb the increase. We'll see how long that plan lasts. Maybe if EU member states were very wealthy and awash with cash, right? Maybe they could execute such a plan, but they're all broke and they're all in debt. So I don't really see how they're going to hand people money. I don't think they're capable of handing their citizens money and subsidies to deal with the price increases that will be coming, and they will be coming very soon if Trump does not take an off-ramp to this war. So we are talking. I thought something changed. The basketball court is gone. That threw me off. Okay. No more basketball. Oh well. So Trump, let's talk about DJT. I like it. I like it a lot. I don't like it. I don't like it a lot. Trump is angry with allies, angry with NATO. He told the media yesterday that he helped NATO with Ukraine. And now NATO is not helping him with Iran. We are working with them on Ukraine. Ukraine is thousands of miles away from us. We don't have to do that. Well, Trump, if that is indeed the case, then show some courage and walk away from Project Ukraine. If that's how you feel, if you feel betrayed by NATO, then step number one is to walk away from Project Ukraine. No giving weapons, no selling weapons, no intel, no satellite imagery, no targeting information. Just walk away, man. Walk away. If you're really hurt, I mean really, really hurt, and you really do feel betrayed, which you don't, and you're not going to walk away because you don't have the courage to do it. They won't let you do it. Lindsey Graham will not let you do it. But anyway, he said that he's upset. He feels betrayed, let down by NATO. You could also leave NATO. You could also do that. You could take your ball and just leave the game. Leave the pitch. You won't do that either. The MIC will not let you do that. So Reuters is reporting that the Trump administration is getting pressure from the Gulf states to finish the war, but not finish the war in a diplomatic sense, to increase the escalation and to defeat Iran militarily, but to do it quickly, step it up. This is according to Reuters. Gulf states press U.S. to neutralize Iran for good as Hormuz crisis deepens. So Reuters is saying that the Gulf states are just getting hammered, and a lot of damage is being done to the Gulf states, not only in terms of energy and energy exports and revenue, but also in terms of tourism, in terms of stability. They're just getting hammered in business. And the Gulf states are telling the Trump administration, speed it up. Speed up the military activity. Go faster, go harder, President Trump. You know, the Gulf states, they are getting pulled into this in much the same way that the European states were pulled into Project Ukraine. Europe did not tell Biden, stop, don't do this. Don't go to war with Russia. Don't provoke a war with Russia. Don't escalate with Russia. Use diplomacy. Let's figure out a solution. Let's tell Russia that Ukraine is not going to get into NATO. Let's start from there. It's very simple, very easy. Just come out with a statement, Bidenopolis, and just say that Ukraine is not going to get into NATO, and we'll put it in writing, and we'll make it official, and we can avoid a war. That's what Europe could have said, but nope. No. Let's get at it. Let's get that regime change with Putin. The Gulf states are heading down that same path. And I imagine this is making the neocons very happy. It seems like their plan is working out. Bog the U.S. down in a long war, in a quagmire. I think Kent senses that, hence his resignation. A reporter asked Trump, or not just a reporter, Fox News' Peter Doocy asked Trump, "You said they hit Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait. Nobody expected that. We were shocked. Are you surprised that nobody briefed you ahead of time that might be their retaliation?" And Trump's response to Doocy's question was, nobody, no. The greatest experts, nobody thought they were going to hit the GCC countries. Yeah, right. You were briefed on all of this. Kane briefed you on all of this. He briefed you on the generals, the military, they briefed you on all of Iran's possible ways to retaliate. And without a doubt, one of those ways was striking out at the GCC countries. We knew, all of us knew, watching this video, all of us knew, and people that were watching the Duran, and me and Alexander said it, and everyone that commented on the Duran video said it, and everyone that's been commenting on my videos, everyone knew that one of the ways they were going to strike out was to go after the GCC countries and to close the Strait of Hormuz. I think what Trump could say, which could be valid, is he could make the claim that he did not expect Iran to go so hard after the GCC countries. Yeah, he could perhaps say, "I didn't expect that big of an attack against the GCC countries. I didn't expect them to go after our military bases the way they did. I didn't expect such a wide attack." He could say that we expected an attack, but we did not think that it would be hitting every country. Bahrain, UAE, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia, everything. Kuwait, Iraq. I mean, you could say something like that and get away with it, but to say, "I was totally surprised, we never expected any of this," that's ridiculous. The Wall Street Journal put out an article with the title, "Trump knew the risk of Iran blocking the Strait of Hormuz. He still went to war. The president told his White House team that Tehran would likely capitulate before closing the strait, the world's most vital shipping lane." Exactly. That was exactly the plan. Trust the plan, so many people tell us. Trust the plan, Duran. Come on, Alex. You've got TDS. What's happened to you? You've got TDS, man. Trust the plan. Don't you see it? Don't you see what Trump is doing? It's 20D chess. No, it's not 20D chess. Trump and the people close to him, they actually believed that with the capitulation strike, Netanyahu and Lindsey Graham and all these people were whispering this into Trump's ear, just a strike out at the Supreme Leader, and that will be it. It'll be game over. We launch on Friday. Come Monday, when the market's open, you'll be able to go around and say, "Not only did I capture Maduro, but in 2 days, with one big strike, the most beautiful, biggest, greatest military operation in all of history, with one strike, we managed to take over Iran. Then in 3 weeks, I would make my way to China, and I would be sitting with Xi Jinping, and I would tell Xi Jinping, 'You need to capitulate to me, President Trump, because we now have Venezuela and we now have Iran in our pockets.'" That was the plan. That was the plan. And Trump said, "You know what? I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear all you," what do they call them? Panikins or something stupid like that. What a dumb name. Panikins or something dumb. Panickers, panikins. "I don't want to hear anything from all you panickers or panikins. It'll be 2 days max. 2 days max. Trust me, it'll be the most beautiful, beautiful strike ever. Oh boy, well, we're here at the Garden of Peace. This is new. The Garden of Peace. Olive trees from 21 countries. Wow, that's pretty cool. 21 countries. Okay. The Olive of the Garden of Peace. Interesting name. Slovenia. So that's the Wall Street Journal exposing Trump's buffoonish plan, his administration's buffoonish plan, which has now led to what could be a very long, disastrous war. We'll see how all of this unfolds. Trump still has time to find a way out of this, but he's not going to get out of this. This is Spain. Okay. Oh, Iran. Interesting. The Garden of Peace. France. France. USA. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it. Peaceful place. And then you have an outdoor gym over there. You know, that outdoor gym is interesting because it actually has weights, which is something I've not seen in an outdoor gym. We'll go over there in a bit. So let's talk about, this is going to be a long video, huh? Oh man, this is going to be a long video. I need to wrap this thing up. Boy, are people going to be mad with me. Barak Ravid of Axios, he claims that that Arachi is in communications with Witkoff. And he got community noted because Arachi, he put out a statement on X saying, my last contact with Mr. Witkoff was prior to his employer's decision to kill diplomacy with another illegal military attack on Iran. Any claim to the contrary appears geared solely to mislead oil transfers and the public. Another trick to try and keep oil under 100. Okay, so let's move on. Trump, as he was speaking to the media, he was asked a lot of questions about Iran, the war with Iran. Trump said that that war is a habit. He said war is a habit. You know, war is a racket. Now we have war is a habit. War is a racket. Forget about that. Trump, war is a habit. And he said he did it on behalf of good allies in the Middle East, naming Israel specifically. He said it was not a good thing to do to attack Iran, but out of habit. Out of habits. Okay. Wow. What a statement from Trump. Trump also said that it's a little unfair of Iran to fight back. He doesn't like the fact that Iran is fighting back. Iran has been decimated. They've been defeated. The United States won. He said, we won. They've been defeated. But he just can't figure out why they are fighting back. He said, it's just not cool. It's a little unfair for them to fight back. So he said that. He also praised the leaders of Iran, which was kind of a weird exchange. He said that this is a game of chess and I'm dealing with very smart players. These are smart people. They don't get there otherwise. You know, you're dealing with high level intellect, high, very high IQ people. He was trying to explain why the war is unfolding in the way that it is. Well, according to Trump, he's dealing with very high intellect people. That's why things are not going so well. But he did say it's very much like a game of chess. Who invented chess? President Trump. I don't think Trump knows. I really think Trump does not know the answer to that question. Anyway, let's do a clown world and we can wrap up this long Tuesday video. I was going to do a lot of clown worlds, but I'll skip some Clown world number one is Sean Penn goes to Ukraine. He skipped the Oscars, or he went to the Oscars and then immediately got on a plane to go to Ukraine. Is that possible? I don't even know if you could do that. But forget about the Oscars. He went to Kiev to hang out with his little buddy, Alensky, and Alensky posted on X, and I will do it in my Alensky voice. Sean, thanks to you, we know that a true friend of Ukraine is. You have stood with Ukraine since the first days of full-scale war. This is still true today. And we know that you will continue to stand with our country and our people. Hey, Podoliak, I like this Sean Penn guy. Hey, Mr. Penn, you bring me another Oscar? I didn't win an Oscar this year, Volodymyr. What? You don't bring me Oscar? Get out of here. Leave this place, Mr. Penn. But let's take a photo first. Okay. Did Penn win an Oscar? I don't think he won an Oscar. I didn't watch the Oscars. I don't even know who was nominated, to be quite honest. Oh, boy. What else? What else? Here's one more. Trump posted on Truth Social about Venezuela being the 51st state. Venezuela did well against Italy in baseball. I believe like the World Baseball Competition or something, like the World Cup of Baseball, I think, is going on. Not quite sure. But anyway, Trump posted on Truth Social, wow, Venezuela defeated Italy tonight, 4-2 in the WBC baseball semifinal. They are looking really great. Good things are happening in Venezuela lately. I wonder what this magic is all about. Statehood, number 51, anyone? President Donald J. Trump. Everything's about a country becoming the 51st state. It's just all the 51st state. It's Venezuela, it's Greenland, it's Cuba, it's Iran, it's whatever. Everything's the 51st state or the 52nd state. Canada. Anyway, I think I will end it there, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. You can find us on X and Rumble and Telegram. We are also on Substack. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. See, check it out. It even has weights. I've never seen that. Anyway, Duran shop. All the links are in the description box down below. Take care.